The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
We have a full lineup of guests, and we're going to be discussing the whole thing about franchising. And we're going to be looking at that from two points of view. We've got later on joining us on the phone, we've got Chris Gillam, who's a franchising expert in terms of how to set up franchising and things like that. And joining us in the studio, we've got Liz Astoriki and Warren Wilson, who are franchise owners of quite different types of franchises as well. So we're going to be discussing all things franchise, in between munching some lovely crudités supplied by Liz.
Well, not just crudités.
I can't see what else you've got over
she
there.
She has bought, a special request, they're gluten-free, they're chocolate cookies or something or others.
You
brownies with beetroot in, so they're really healthy and slimming.
Beetroot chocolate brownies.
Yeah, you try one.
I better have one just to make.
Yes.
I'll see. You made me do that now.
Oh, bunker listener, he's pulled his headphone out
you
again.
You did that. You did that deliberately. You made me lean over, so I pulled out all the cables.
I'm loving your shirt this morning, by the way. So how are they?
Nom nom nom.
Aren't they?
No.
Special request. That
no,
was.
They're horribly lovely.
And would you believe they're gluten-free? You wouldn't. You wouldn't know.
I couldn't care less.
And you've had now one of your five a day in the beetroot.
Only one. So I've got four more to go. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, maybe more. You will get beetroot wee, though, probably. But I'm not allowed to talk about that because you get all funny about it, don't you?
Don't start now. I've got a tweet about that.
Can you not lick your fingers on air?
Sorry. I've got some tweets here.
So was it nice?
It was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Can't you hear me chomping away?
I've just taken the Tupperware back, bunker listener, so that I get one. And
you wouldn't have liked that, listener. You would not have liked that. It was lovely.
She's famous for them.
Cheers now. Right, some tweets. Hilda Marie Smith. Have a great show. No silly impressions.
Oh, yeah. Well, I asked her to phone up, but she's cooking.
Okay.
She said, I've got a class going on.
See, she told you not to do that.
But look what I'm wearing. Especially to do my impersonation.
Zebra earrings.
Zebra earrings.
Listener.
Especially for Hilda Marie. Right. She's actually doing something rather exciting.
Okay.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, go on.
She's taken on a cookery school. At the Abbey in Faversham, the Abbey School. Do you know the Abbey School?
Yes, yeah.
And she's going to be looking for 24 apprentices to take on. And she's going to teach them the whole art of high-end hospitality. So she's looking for young people who are passionate about learning everything from front of house, hospitality, silver service, admin and office, which is it's essential for running your own cookery business, and of course the actual cookery.
Brilliant.
So we'll be looking for these 24 young apprentices.
Oh, cool.
Contacting all the schools.
Cool.
So well done, Hilda. I think that's amazing.
No, it's absolutely brilliant.
I mean, you love that sort of thing, don't you?
Yeah. No, I think it's absolutely brilliant, and I'm right behind that, and I think it's fantastic. Mm. And we'll cover that on later shows.
Yeah, you could be one.
What, an apprentice?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Anyway, listen, we want to hear from you, the listeners out there. Allegedly, our phones are working.
What is the number?
The number is 01303.
Yeah.
874.
Yeah.
Yeah. 899. No, sorry.
Did
that's
you just
wrong.
Make that up? Oh,
no,
cool.
That's wrong. It was you putting me off. 01303 874 998.
Oh.
I'll do that again. 01303 874 998. Give us a call on the Business Bunker. It might even work. We might even get one.
Talking about confusing, something like you telling me when I'm back here, when I'm actually in Spain still, as per your email the other day, when you said, bring him in on so-and-so when you're doing the show. And I'm not. I'll be in Spain on the beach still.
I'm your social secretary all of a sudden, aren't I? I'm supposed to know your diary off by heart.
You confuse me.
Yeah, this is a person that hasn't ever been on holiday, worrying about your holidays. Yeah. Okay, Jules, fine.
Margarita time.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I've got some more tweets. Lisa Settle saying hello.
Hello, Lisa.
Dawn Russell, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin. Looking forward to another great programme today, guys. Thank you, Dawn. Hilda Marie says you're vibrating and it's you, not me.
Oh, so you're vibrating, are you?
I don't know what I'm doing. Does that mean I'm too loud or not loud enough?
Oh, well, maybe you're near. It does sound quite high.
Yeah, it is. I think when Dave turned it all up, he kind of turned it all up.
I don't think he was in the best of moods, frankly.
No, well, because I was...
He scowled at me.
It was because you were banging on the window and waving at him. Anyway, we'll try and sort that out. I'll try not to reverberate too much.
So have a lovely cookery lesson, Hilda. And if you get time, call in on 01303 874 988.
Right. 01303 874 998. Or you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. Yeah. Or you can send us an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Come on, get it right.
Or grab a llama.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some weird tweets coming in.
Have you?
Yeah, because what they've done is they do what they do every week now. They start talking to each other halfway through talking to me.
Terribly rude.
And that, well, the thing is, I haven't got access to that part of the conversation, so I don't know what bit they're talking about. I've got Victoria Hockley, Business Bunker, Oh Yes Please, Makeup by Mrs.H.co.uk, based in Greenwich. So, right, that's it. No, I got it. So that's Victoria Hockley, whose website is www.makeupbymrsh.co.uk, and they're based in Greenwich, and they do makeup lessons and parties for all ages.
How good.
So there you go. Thank you for that, Victoria.
Yes.
As always, with things like that, we'll put the link to the website on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website.
She's a new listener, isn't she?
Absolutely, yep. A new follower listener. The lovely Janice Watton.
Hello.
Hi, Janice. Jules Serkin.
Hello.
And Vanilla Webb.
Oh.
You got at her, didn't you? You got at her to put you first.
Yeah.
Hope you're both well. I'm tuned in and listening while I work. Well, it's lovely to have you, Janice. Thank you for your support.
We really appreciate it. You've got to be very nice.
Yeah,
to me
Jules
today.
Is feeling under the weather this
I'm
morning.
Very
she had a poorly night last night,
yes.
But being a true media trooper.
Yes.
And star, the show must go on. We ought to play a bit of Leo Sayer, really, didn't we?
Do you know the Queen one as well? Is it Queen that do the show must go on?
No, that's Leo Sayer.
Yeah, well, he does that, baby.
Yeah, well, that's the original.
But isn't there another one?
Don't know.
But I was.
What do you want them all?
I was singing that as I gritted my teeth coming here this morning. I actually got out of bed at 10:30 this morning. I normally leave at 10:30.
Right.
Hence my attire.
Right. Okay.
I'm wearing a very fetching dressing gown and pajamas and
absolutely
lovely slippers.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so poor thing's suffering today. So be gentle with
her. A lot of blusher on. You won't be gentle, though. You'll just see it as a time to seize your opportunity, won't you?
I'm always gentle with you, Jules. I don't get a word in edgeways. Anyway, Victoria Hockley again has just said there's big discounts to anyone who emails me directly through the website. So thank you for reading that out. Have a great day on the bunker. So again, if you contact Victoria through her website, makeupbymrsh.co.uk, then you can get some discounts on makeup parties and so forth and so on.
I wonder if she does airbrush. Victoria, do you do airbrush? I had it once for a Good Housekeeping shoot and it was amazing. It sort of took about 150 years off me.
Cool. Bungalow Industries have just tweeted. Yeah.
David.
Heads down, but listening to our new pals, Jules Serkin and Vanilla Webb. Why is everybody putting you first at the moment? I don't like this. I've been usurped. Anyway, we're listening to...
Well, I like that word. Second.
Usurped.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I would have said upsurped.
But listening to new pals, Jules Serkin and Vanilla Webb, live on Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Log on, tune in, join in.
Yeah.
I remember that from the 60s.
It's like a little strap line.
Yeah. Cool.
They'll probably give us a bill now for thinking of that strap.
That, there's something definitely going on here. There is a conspiracy going on here.
Right.
Because every single tweet is starting the same way. Billy Dean, Jules Serkin, Vanilla Web. I'm trying to tune in, but lack of phone signal and internet capabilities is holding me back. I'm sorry to hear that, Billy. Get into a reception area, mate.
He was having a very geeky conversation on Twitter. And when I was sitting in my little twilight world yesterday looking at things, feeling poorly, I interrupted because they were just talking about RAM and all sorts of weird things and Thailand floods causing, you know, prices to go up on things and that. And so I asked them what they were talking about and they said they were conspiring to take over the Business Bunker.
Ah, right.
And they were talking in code.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Inline Magazine, that's
Donna Whitby.
Yeah,
just
afternoon
got the July
to you both.
Out.
Yeah, I'm listening in on my mobile on the way to a meeting. Have a great show. Thank you for that, Donna. You're obviously in a better reception area than Billy's, but that's good. So loads of people listening in on the phones these days.
And your mag looks good, Donna. Really, very impressed.
Yep. And Julia Gray, Vanilla Webster. Someone's got it right at last.
Oh.
Hi, Paul and Jules. Get well soon. Yes, it was Queen.
Yes,
they
both
right.
did it.
Yeah.
They're different versions. Do you want me to sing both of them? Or
no, what? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why I don't want you to sing that. Because do you know what we're going to do now?
We're going to play Tunage.
We're going to play some Tunage.
Yeah.
And we're going to play some Tunage while I get our first guest on the phone.
Can you play Doctor Doctor, please?
No. I'm going to play
this. Thompson twins.
Nah, I'm going to play
Night
this.
Night Nurse.
Yeah, Warren and I, because Warren and I got here early, we were listening to this earlier, and we were having a right old bop about to this, so I decided to play it again.
I've told you, I was still in bed at 10:30.
Yeah, yeah.
Having gone to bed at 6 a.m.
We're going
to
play.
Oh.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals it hard. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny does your dog bite, no child knows." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. A chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, will you dog bite, no child, no.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Oh, welcome back.
Cool, yeah. That was a fiddle, wasn't
bit
it?
Bit of a Charlie Daniels band there. Yeah. The devil went down to Georgia. Hey,
you
cool.
You should have seen
cool
Paul Andrews.
Yeah,
listener.
Bopping all over the studio.
He was jumping up on top of the desk and fiddling. And
yeah, anyway, hopefully we've got our studio, our phone guest on the line. Hello, Chris.
Hi there, Paul.
You're there.
I am.
Yeah, this is a landmark event, Chris.
Yes.
You are the first person we've got to work on this telephone system in this studio.
I'm very honoured.
So groundbreaking stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about Chris Gillam and about what you do? You're a franchise specialist, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. I'm a franchise consultant, and I have a company which I operate with my partner, who's a lawyer. who specialised in franchise matters.
Right, okay.
And so we help people who think they've got a business that is capable of expansion through franchising.
Right.
And we can help them to, you know, conduct feasibility studies and develop the structures, go through the manuals, the financing, and so on and so on.
Right.
Right up to trying to find potential franchisees to run the business.
Okay. So, tell us a little bit about the kind of things that are involved in that. I mean, you know, how does it work? You know, what do you have any feel for the size of the franchising business in the UK? That kind of thing.
Sure. Well, I mean, the franchise business is assessed on an annual basis via the NatWest franchise survey, which has actually just been released. And some of the highlights are available online.
Right.
But the sector at the moment is turning over about £13.5 billion.
Blimey.
There are 929 business format franchise systems operating in the UK.
Say again,
929,
so nearly 1,000 different types of franchises.
Business, and there are 40,000 franchises operating in the UK.
Right.
And those businesses employ getting on for 600,000 people.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big business, a lot bigger than I think a lot of people realise, really.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are some odd kind of myths and things about franchising, aren't there, out there in the marketplace?
There are. I think, unfortunately, franchising still gets sort of muddled up with multi-level marketing sort of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing.
That's the kind of thing I was thinking of. And, of course,
yeah.
There's nothing remotely like that.
Absolutely. I mean, when we talk about franchising, we're really talking about business format franchising. So this is something that somebody effectively would clone as a franchisee.
Right.
And they're cloning a business that has been, you know, successful and tried and tested over a period of time.
Hmm. I mean, just as an indicator, at the top end of that, what kind of franchises could we be looking at the very top end of franchising?
Well, there are hotel groups. There,
right.
There are certain hotel groups that are franchised, and then perhaps more commonly places, you know, people like Domino's Pizza,
right.
McDonald's. There's
yep.
quite a few fast food ones. And then there are some business franchises, my old company, Prontoprint, and, of course, Mailboxes, etc., which is a big franchise now. It's got over 120 stores.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking to our franchise holder on the show
yeah,
a bit later on.
Warrington.
So it's a whole range of different businesses, and some of them are quite huge businesses, like a hotel or a McDonald's franchise. It's going to be a substantial amount of money, one would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, right at the top end, you can, you know, obviously invest an awful lot of money. There's no doubt about it. But the average sort of spend is going to be somewhere around the £80,000 mark. And that would be for, you know, a typical franchise, which might be something that's based on the high street, or indeed it might be, you know, an estate agency or an online business. Just everything is there for people to look at.
Okay, and what was that average again?
Sorry, it's about £80,000.
About £80,000.
Yeah.
Is that a one-off investment kind of price, or is that an annual kind of...
No, the way things are structured, Paul, is that people would pay an initial fee, which will include enable the franchisee to use the trademarks within an area for a designated period of time, and that's usually around about 5 years.
Right, okay.
And so they pay a fee, and then they actually have to buy the business. So the business might require assets. So, for example, if it's going to be a shop, it's going to need shop fit and building out and so on and so forth.
Mm.
So that will all add up. So the franchisee is buying physical assets as well as paying something for the rights to use that brand.
Right, okay, understand.
Once the franchisee has done that and he started trading, normally franchise systems charge ongoing fees, which are called management fees.
Right.
And again, typically those are going to be in the region of 10%. And usually that 10% includes a marketing levy.
Okay. Is that 10% of revenues, 10% of profits?
It's 10% of revenues.
Right.
It's very, very unusual for a franchisor to charge a fee on the profits.
Right, okay.
So it's sales that go through the tills, net of VAT, obviously.
Yep.
And that attracts the management fee. And then the marketing fee is then invested by the franchisor on behalf of their network.
Right, okay. Cool.
Where are you based, Chris?
I'm actually based near Guildford, and my partner, Nina, is based in Essex, in Tendring.
Okay.
And we have business all over the country. You know, people will contact us, and we'll normally meet up with them in the first instance and help decide whether they've got something that can be franchised. A lot of people see franchising as an opportunity to get themselves out of trouble, and franchising is rarely a good way of dealing with that. And other people, quite frankly, have, you know, unrealistic expectations as to how many franchisees they can find. So we try and bring some realistic advice,
right.
Provide some realistic advice for people.
Okay. I mean, that was one of the questions I really wanted to explore with you, Chris, was how much of your business is advising companies that want to franchise out versus advising people that are looking to acquire a franchise?
The majority of our business is people looking to franchise out.
Right.
We do come across people who will get in touch looking for some advice prior to buying a franchise. We're very happy to provide that, but it is a smaller part of the business.
Yeah, understand.
Having said that, we do work for some clients where we help them with their recruitment.
Right.
So we're helping them to find franchisees, and then we develop a recruitment and selection process. So obviously I am meeting potential franchisees all of the time.
Right. Okay. Cool. excuse me. I'm fascinated by this, not least of which because it was something that fleetingly went through my brain a while back, was looking at the potential of possibly franchising one of my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's huge demand for business talk radio rubbish. Yeah, trust me on this, Chris.
I'll take your word for that, Paul.
Yeah, we're going to make billions, mate, don't you worry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any, I know this is a horrible question, and please feel free to tell me it's a horrible question and not answer it, but are there any set things that people get wrong or go about in the wrong way where you think, oh no, here we go again, somebody's rocked up with this silly idea? You know, is there something we should avoid? So as business people, when we start thinking about the process of, I don't know, let's franchise this, is there, you know, two or three things where you'd say, look, if it doesn't meet this criteria or that criteria or the other, you're wasting your time?
Actually, it's not a bad question at all. I mean, one of the great sort of problems with some people who think they've got something franchisable is that, in truth, they have a product or a system that just requires very little ongoing knowledge or input.
Right.
You know, you might have seen some of these franchises that were selling juice, for example, out of a cart.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, once you've told somebody how to cut an orange in half and put it on the juicer, there's not much real need for an ongoing relationship.
Right.
And business format franchising is very much based on an ongoing relationship.
Right.
So that means the market is perhaps continually developing. So you're looking at a franchisor to help develop the market with you. There might be new equipment that needs testing and new ideas, new products and services. So there needs to be something of substance to make the whole thing hang together and to make it a justifiable investment for the franchisee. One of the golden rules of franchising is that it's got to be a successful scenario for both parties. So you need to have a business that's capable of providing real profits for the franchisee, as well as naturally providing good profitability for the franchisor.
Right.
And because of that, typically it's higher margin businesses that tend to make good franchise propositions.
Right, okay.
So it's the operating margin and something of reasonable substance, Paul. You know, so that there is a reason for a franchisee to stick with it.
Yep.
And finally, perhaps also the basis of getting real benefit from a brand.
Right.
Because, again, what a franchisee is really is somebody who's cloning a product in a local area and providing a local service to local business, but he's part of a much larger group. So the idea is that he or she is punching above their weight, getting better deals on through suppliers and so on and so forth.
Right, cool. It's a fascinating subject, Chris. Unfortunately, we're out of time now, but we could talk about it forever. But we've got two franchise holders in the studio with us, so we're going to be exploring the whole concept from that side of the fence a little bit later in the show. But for the moment, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker.
It's been
a fascinating insight into the world of franchising. Have you got a website or some contact details where if anybody wants to contact you and find out more, they can?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm. If anyone wants to get hold of us, they can get hold of us on nmwfranchiseservices.com.
Cool.
That's N for November, N for Mike, W Whiskey.
Okay.
And, get hold of us through that. It'd be great.
Fantastic. We will put a link to that website on the Kent Business Radio website so that people can follow up and contact you should they wish to find out more.
Great stuff.
And well done, Chris, for joining the Twitter universe.
Yeah. Yes. I thought it was time I took the plunge.
I was very impressed.
You were quite high pressure, Jules.
Yeah, she is. She's on commission by Twitter. We all think so anyway, Chris. She's got a Twitter franchise, we reckon. Anyway, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Fascinating subject. And hopefully we can talk to you further about that later in the year, because I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback about that.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Brilliant. Thank
Thanks
you, Chris.
Again.
Have a great day.
Cheers.
Talk
Bye.
To you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So,
oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh, blimey, that was a bit loud.
You cranked it up.
Yeah, I cranked it up. That was Chris Gillam of nmwfranchiseservices.com talking about franchises.
He's not as far away as I thought. I might march him in here another time. I thought he was up in the Midlands. I don't know why.
Right.
But if he's only in Surrey, he could trot across, couldn't he?
Yeah, it's not far. It's he can get across the border easily.
Yeah.
At night, in the dark, in camouflage.
In a dinghy.
No worries. Twitter's gone a bit mad, which is good, because I was worried about that earlier. But we also want to hear from you, so do give us a call on 01303874998.
I wonder if Mark Smith's listening, because he tried to get through the other couple of weeks.
Yeah, he did.
It was dead.
Yeah, it was a BT fault. The problem we had before is that what happened is when anybody rang and they tried to put it through to the studio, it cut the stream off, which kind of was self-defeating, but it turned out to be a BT fault. Took them a week to fix it.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah. But they did fix it at last.
And over the Jubilee weekend as well.
So yeah.
It actually did quite well.
Yeah.
So you could have waited 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Anyway, catch up on a couple of tweets. Janice Watton says, brilliant song choice, love it. If you lose, the devil gets your soul. Sung at the top of my voice. Nice one, Janice. Karen Wilkins, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, looking forward to another great show. Please mention the new Avocet website. AvocetRecruiting.com. That's AVOCET recruiting.com. All one word. Avocet is a long-legged bird, by the way.
Yes, I remember this from when Dawn was in, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about
that. She was the only one that knew what it was.
Yeah, no, I knew, but I wouldn't tell you.
No, you wouldn't.
Because I know Karen.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
who is a long-legged bird.
You've just got inside information.
Yeah.
So it's a stalky type of thing, is it?
No. Well, am I stalking her? No.
Is it a wader, Mr. Andrews?
Sorry. Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, you've got me going in completely the wrong direction
is
there.
Is it a wading bird?
Yes, it is a wading bird, but this is a recruitment website called AvocetRecruiting.com.
So I wonder why she thought that name.
As
another whole show.
Yeah, ask her. Anyway, have a look at the website. It's a brilliant website. I had a look at it. It's new up, and there's also a very interesting blog on there what she has written. So have a read of that. So good luck with that, Karen. I'm sure it will be a rip-roaring success. And she says, get well soon, Jules.
Oh, thank you. I've staggered in and I will, as soon as the show's over, I shall go back to my bed, I'm afraid, and retire.
Which is what she normally does anyway, listener. Billy Dean, I'm tuned in now. I've got some new followers. Barry Nashaw and Party Zone in Swalecliff. Encourage them to call in.
Swalecliff?
Yeah.
You said Snailcliff.
Did I?
Yeah.
Was I being slow? Swalecliff. That's Barry Nashaw. So, Barry, give us a call.
Yeah, tell us all about your business.
Yeah,
01303-874-998.
You got it right. Well done. So Billy's listening in now. He's picked up some signal.
He didn't hear me saying earlier, probably, that he was trying to conspire to take over the show last night on Twitter.
Right, okay.
Talking in code with someone else. Can't remember
who it was. Lisa Settle. The Mid-Kent Ladies What Latte will be meeting on Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Innovation Centre Chatham. Would the listener like to come?
Yes.
So come on, listener, get along to that. That's the Innovation Centre at Chatham. I take it that's the one on City Way. Medway Innovation Centre.
This Thursday, Lisa.
That's what it says. It says on Thursday at 10. So I guess it means the day after tomorrow.
And don't forget for your diary, Lenlys, the Kent Business Tweet Up. New one at Lenlys, Roper Road, Canterbury, 10 a.m. on Thursday the 28th. contact myself or Ken Lloyd for details.
Cool. Okay. I don't know if that's a call for us or a call for the office. We shall find out any minute now.
I don't think it's for us.
Doesn't look like it's for us, does it?
He's got his arms folded.
Yeah. I just want to mention this as well. This is quite long, so I'm going to be doing bits of this over the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But the Kent and Medway Business to Business Exhibition at the Ashford... Oh, no, it is a call for us. Cool. Thank you.
Well, he's waving his elbows at you. Let's see if we can actually put it through.
Let's see who we got.
There you are. Who's calling the business bunker?
Hello.
You've got to pick it up.
They'll have to
try again, because we've lost you.
Hold on a sec.
So it's 01303 874 998. Do try it again.
Sorry about that. Whoever that was, do give us a call again, and we'll have another go at that. But we do know the phones are working, so that was probably me just messing it up.
Well, it was a bit of a stretch for you, darling, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I don't know what happened there, whoever that was, call us again, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was saying the business to business Kent and Medway business to business show on the 3rd of July. It's a packed show. There's loads of things happening there. They've got loads of speakers and seminars and all kinds, and then there's loads of local business exhibitors. Ah, let's have another go at that. Hello. No, it's not. Hold on a second.
Yes, it's someone else that's calling for someone else, and we've had that before.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Live on the show, somebody came through.
Is that Tell?
Yeah.
No, you're on the business bunker. No, I'm on Tell. No, Tell's not here.
I want to talk about my fancy dress party.
Yeah, just you get Tell on his phone now. Yeah, no, it was one of those. No, it wasn't for us at all. That's why it didn't come through.
So tell me about July the 3rd again.
All right, I'm trying to tell you about July the 3rd. Yeah. Right. There's a full lineup of speakers, people like Paula Wynn, who's an international award-winning social networking entrepreneur and top author at Amazon. There's a whole program of different things going on. Let me just run through the program. The whole thing starts with a breakfast at 7 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. At 7:40, there's a welcome and introduction by Joe James, who's the chief executive of the chamber. And there's a guest speaker, Derek Williams, also known as Mr. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the exhibition starts proper at 8:30. Then there's a lineup of speakers and seminars with choices of workshops. There's workshops on key tips to save time and boost your cash flow using Sage, how to access bank finance. There's Meet the Team from Three Successful Entrepreneurs, which is Sonia Wood, Brad Burton, which a lot of people know,
Brad
from 4N,
and
Ashley Lawrence. So there's loads and loads of things going on, and over the next couple of weeks I'm going to be telling you more about that. But there's a tie-in here as well, because we are absolutely blown away, because next week one of the guests on the Business Bunker show is Mr. Richard Farley, former Dragon from BBC's Dragon's Den, and he's going to be joining us on the Business Bunker.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, which is really great. I'm really made up about it.
You will have to make up.
I'm really going to have to try harder as well, aren't I?
Yeah. Gloss.
Yeah, and all that. Yeah. Anyway, so Richard Farley is joining us on the Business Bunker next Tuesday on June the 19th, but Richard will also be at the Ashford International B2B event on July the 3rd, and he's doing a range of workshops and seminars there. So get along and see him. He's a fantastic bloke. Where's he based?
No, where is the B2B
based? At the Ashford International Hotel in Ashford.
I'm not feeling well. You promised to be nice to me.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm being nice to you. Don't you worry.
So if any bunker listeners have got any questions for him, they could phone up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he's going to be on next week. Now there's another phone call. This is all getting a bit heavy. We'll see. See what it is. But anyway, get along on the 3rd.
I think he's trying to put you through. So
hold on, pick
the phone.
Hold on a second. Hello. Hi. Hold on a second. So who have we got there?
It's Robin from the Party Zone in Swalecliff.
Oh, hello, Robin. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
Billy Dean.
Was that you trying to get through earlier?
Yes, it was.
Sorry, I need to explain to you. I don't know why I need to explain, but I need to explain. We're in a brand new studio.
Right.
And we're still trying to work the phones out, but we got you eventually.
Not that we could ever work them in the old studio.
Yeah, we couldn't work them in the old studio. It's just it's just a rotten excuse. But hey, thank you for calling us and persevering.
That's not a problem.
We really appreciate that. So tell us again who you are.
It's, I'm Robin from the Party Zone.
Right, okay.
In Swale Cliff.
Oh, you're Billy Dean's mate?
Yeah.
I am Billy Dean's friend, yeah.
Yeah, he's got one then.
Yeah.
We're beginning to wonder. So tell us a bit about what you do, Robin.
Well, basically, we've opened up a shop on the main road, selling basically everything you need for a party.
Right.
But our main part of our business is that we supply children's party bags to leisure centres and children's activity centres around the UK. But Billy was interested in the fact that I should come and speak to you, because obviously this is new. We've got an opening coming up on the 30th of June, and he felt it might be a good way of letting a few more people know where we are, who we are, and when we're actually sort of up and running properly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know who Robin's neighbour is, don't you?
No.
Robin, just you're just by the Sainsbury's on that on the old Thanet Way, aren't you? On the Swalecliff Bend there, St John's Road.
Yes.
Well, if you look sort of to your left and opposite the chemist,
yeah,
you'll see Serenity Becker and her beauty salon.
Yes.
So if you fancy a manicure, you can just pop over and see her and invite her to your opening.
So what Jules is trying to tell you, Robin, is we've got the whole of that road, the whole of that road promoting themselves on the Business Bunker, which is brilliant because that's what we're here for.
No, that's great.
So do you have a website?
Yes, we do.
Give us a shout.
That's all going live on the 30th of June as well.
Right.
And it's www.ukpartysupply.com.
Brilliant. We'll put a link to that on our website.
Thank you.
And maybe on the show before the 30th of June, you give us a call in again and we'll give you another push for that.
Yeah, we'll do that. That'd be lovely.
Robin, absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for calling us.
And by the way,
yeah.
Barry Snashall.
Oh, right.
Barry's surname.
All right,
I'm surprised he's not ringing.
Right, I was trying. See, it's difficult when you're reading tweets live on the air because you don't really know how it's pronounced. It could have been Barry S. Nashall. Or Barry's Nashall, or Barry Snashall.
Yeah, but he'll just laugh anyway.
Cool.
Robin, I want to ask one more thing. Do you do fancy dress at all?
Yes, we do.
Because I'm seeing you now in a little, you know, Batman and Robin cloak.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing you. I don't know if you're wearing one today.
It may be something that does appear on the 30th of June.
Really? She's trying to accuse you of wearing your pants outside your trousers is what she's doing, you know, Robin. Don't let her get to you.
I see a little red flash going along the Swalecliff roundabout.
Robin, thank you so much for joining us on the Bunker. Lovely to hear from you, and the best of luck with that.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right, mate, you take care.
Bye now.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cool. So, we've cracked it now.
What was his surname? Not Banks.
I didn't get that.
Robin Banks.
Oh, very funny, Jules. I'm all a dither now because we've now had an in-and-out phone call and we've eventually made them work, although there's a bit of a problem here because now the phone rings and I have to answer it first, which is a bit difficult when you're on a live broadcast, isn't it? But anyway, we'll work on
it. You used to answer it first.
No, but I used to just be able to press the button and answer it live. Now I have to pick the phone up first before I put it live.
Press things.
And, of course, there's a gap while I do that and go, hello.
Well, I'll just sing when there's a gap.
Yeah, something like that.
Or read out something.
Yeah, that'll work, won't it? Anyway, I was telling you about the B2B event at Ashford International.
Where were we?
Yeah, and so I just wanted to go over the lineup of the entrepreneur panel as well, which is Sonia Wood, who is passionate about the environment and created a company that lives and breathes green values. She makes the world of washrooms fun, interesting and eco-friendly. Brad Burton, who we all know and love from 4N Networking.
Hasn't he been a guest?
Brad?
Yeah.
No.
Why do I know him?
Because everybody talks about him.
Yeah.
He wrote a really famous book called, like, Get Off Your Arse or something.
All right.
Yep. So Brad's there, and a lad called Ashley Lawrence, who I know as well. Ashley has built and sold 4 businesses over the last 38 years. He's fully qualified business and sports psychologist and works with business owners and elite cricket and elite sports people to get the very best from their businesses or sport. And Ashley, I know, was heavily involved in cricket at one stage. So get along, 3rd of July. And another bit of breaking news. We are going to do another first. We're really asking for it, aren't we? We are really pushing it out here. We are going to do a show, a Business Bunker show, live from the exhibition on Tuesday, July the 3rd, he says, trying not to laugh.
Have you got insurance?
I've got no equipment to do it with. I haven't got a clue how it's going to work, but I've agreed to do it.
Yeah, well, you do that sort of thing, and then you panic an hour before.
Yeah. So we are going to be, we're going to be at the show all day. So the Business Bunker will be at the show all day from 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening.
Wearing orange.
We're wearing our orange T-shirts and giving out freebies and gingers. So you come along and get a ginger and all that kind of stuff. But we're also going to do the show live for its hour and a half from the exhibition, and then we're going to be there interviewing people during the rest of the day and doing loads of other things and competitions and activities. So do come and join us. Put it in your diary, Tuesday the 3rd of July at the Ashford International Hotel.
I hope I'm cured by then.
I'm sure you will be, sweetheart.
Yes,
I'm sure
so.
You will. I think what we'll do, we'll have another email.
Okay.
I'll read a couple of tweets. And then I think we'll start to speak to our first studio guest.
You will, because I want to start munching. She's got lovely
keep your eyes off the food and get on with
celery
the emails.
And salsa and hummus.
I have to tell you, listener, she's eaten all the beetroot chocolate. I have one piece. I looked over and it had all gone.
The thing with me is, even when I'm ill, I still eat. That's the trouble. That's why I never get thin. Okay, book your place now for the University of Kent SME event. It's the Business Growth Through Innovation, called Unlocking Regional Potential, and it'll take place on the 19th of June from 1 to 4:30 at the Uni of Kent. It's delivered in partnership with Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. Particular interest to SMEs wishing to access university expertise to support business growth. There'll be info on wider funding and support available to businesses and showcase successful university business collaborations. There'll obviously be networking there, as well as discussion with the academics. It's a free event. Please contact enterprise@kent.ac.uk, and there's a phone number 01227 827 376, and that will be on the Bunker website after the show.
Right, cool. We've got an urgent request here on Twitter.
Urgent?
Yeah, from Sally Laker. Yeah, from Sally for Cakes.
She needs some flour.
No, she needs some people.
People?
Yeah, people. Their Pilgrim's Hospice need people for a promo photo today at King's Hall, Herne Bay, at 4 p.m, promoting the Moonlight Walk, if anyone can come along. That's the Pilgrim's Hospice need people for a promo photo, so I guess it's a crowd scene.
Yeah.
And they need you to be at the King's Hall, Herne Bay, at 4 p.m, and it's to promote the Moonlight Walk. So please get along there if you're in the Herne Bay area.
We had a press release from Pilgrim's Hospice that I sent through to you.
Mm.
Got it?
I don't know. It might be in here somewhere. I've got a huge pile of things.
If not Pilgrim's Hospice, I'll check it out and bring it in next week.
Yeah. We got so many emails. It's unbelievable. And because we weren't on the air last week, we've got a million from the week before as well.
Yeah. One from Prince Philip.
Yeah. And there's also Sally's also sent a big hello from Cake Central.
Yeah, she's such a good baker.
Mm.
She really is. Tell Sally that I'm at the moment tucking into Liz Astoraki's chocolate brownies with beetroot in. So I'm getting my 5 a day, and they're gluten free with almonds.
Lovely.
So they're yum.
Cool. And Sally and Pilgrim's Hospice have said we will be there come rain or shine, and hopefully shine, but get along at 4 p.m. So do get along there to the King's Hall, Herne Bay, at 4 p.m. today. Please. That's an order, not a request. Get down there. And also, the world's most expensive link, Alan Oak, just tweeted us, think link.
Oh, that's cool.
That's it.
That's cool.
To the point. It's cool. It's very man from uncle and all the rest of it. So thank you for that, Alan. The world's most expensive link. I wonder who's top of that.
Oh, here we go.
It wouldn't be Anthony Gray Clocks by any chance for the 9,998th year consecutively. But
it's
nobody,
like Lisa Marie always winning the mystery word.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody ever knocks them off the top spot. So it's only everybody else's fault. You can't blame them for being brilliant, can you?
No, you can't.
So think link.
Did you see I presented Angela with her ginger last week?
Yeah, I saw that.
The Miller's Arms. She was thrilled.
Brilliant. Also, Billy Dean, Robin is a lovely man. That's the guy from the party place.
The guy in the red cloak.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to help you out with any of your party needs. So thank you for that. I've got a couple. I want an award. We haven't done an award for a while.
No.
And this is someone that I know really well and I really like, and she's lovely.
I've said she's tall, blonde.
It's got nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it at all.
Generally.
She's neither tall nor blonde, as it happens.
No.
Yeah.
Petite.
But you do know. Yes, she is petite. But it's got nothing to do with it.
Is it Diana Dawes?
No. No, not least of which this lady's still alive. But apart from that, yeah, minor difference, yeah. No, the Small Business Consultancy, which is an organisation in South East London, have awarded the Entrepreneur of the Month to Julie Anderson.
Oh.
Yeah, who's serial entrepreneur and managing director of RIP Office Contracts. And there's a long blurb about this. I apologise, Julie, I haven't got time to read it all out. It's just a biography of all the businesses she's done and all the things she's started and got off the ground, which is immense. And fantastic, because she's a serial entrepreneur and she's a really driven lady. She makes things happen. She's one of Kent's leading business stars and she really is a great person for making things happen. So I'm going to cover that again, Julie, but for the moment I just wanted to mention it. So Julie Anderson won Entrepreneur of the Month from the Small Business Consultancy, and that is incredibly well deserved.
Well done, Julie.
Yeah, so Julie, well done. She hasn't been on the show for a while, so it's about time we got her back, really.
I was about to say, yeah.
Because I'm sure she started about 10 other businesses and made, you know, a huge difference to half the colleges and stuff like that around Kent in the time since she was last on. So that will be good. I think what we're going to do now is talk to our first studio guest.
Yes.
What do you think?
I do think.
Yep, it will be. It's really great to welcome back to the studio Liz Astaraki of Riverford Organic. Hello, Liz. How are you?
Hello, Paul. Lovely to be here again.
Yeah, you've been sitting there patiently watching us scoff your food as normal. Yeah, so how are you?
Well, you only ever asked me here because you want me food.
Oh, you found out at last.
Lunch.
Yeah. Right, so you passed me this, Jules, which is organic meat boxes.
Yes.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Well, I just think...
it's all right.
It's the meat and veg combo I like.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the once you ordered 400 weight of venison, didn't you, for a snack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. You did that live on air. You came over all peckish.
And it was lovely.
Yeah, and you just rang up Liz and said, I'm hungry, send me venison. Chop up some bambis quickly.
And she did,
and she sent them over.
She had the whole herd.
Absolutely, yeah, I know. That's why there's no wild deer left in Kent. Jules ate them.
So nice.
Yeah. We're talking about franchises, and you operate one of the better-known franchises, Riverford Organic. Tell us a little bit about what Riverford Organic is, what it does, and how you got into it in the first place, Liz.
Yeah, that's right. Riverford decided that they would franchise out for the reason that they are farmers and growers. They're very good at growing their vegetables and producing the lovely organic produce, but they're...
Sorry, Liz. She got in full flow and Jules bit into a carrot just as she was speaking, right in her ear hole. Yeah,
there we
crunch
are. We're
went.
Just sampling some of the produce now.
Yeah.
With hummus, or is that a salsa dip?
That's salsa, yes. Very nice.
Thank you for that, crunchy. I've just got to tell you, listen, that there's a huge barrier in between me and the food, and I can't... So if it all goes quiet, it's because I dived over the desk and pulled everything out. Anyway, sorry, Liz. Sorry to interrupt you.
Now, where was I? Yes, right. Riverford are very good at growing the stuff, but they decided that they weren't that good at getting it out to the customers, delivering it, the distribution side of it, so they decided to create a franchise business.
Mm.
Riverford did start life well over 25 years ago. With Guy Watson, who's the owner of Riverford, Guy Watson, his field of vegetables and his wheelbarrow.
Right, okay.
And, it sort of expanded from there. So they franchise out sort of certain areas, like Chris was saying. We buy the sort of brand name, as it were, and we buy a territory that we're allowed to trade in.
Right. What kind of size is that in your case?
It usually encompasses a set number of households, and it's done on sort of postcode areas. So the sort of, usual franchise area is sort of 150,000 to 200,000 households, something like that.
Mm.
And we are, we sort of sign up for a 5-year stint, as it were, and we're allowed to trade in that area. And we obviously get all of our produce from Riverford, so we're sort of tied in. We're not allowed to sell anything else.
Sure.
And that's basically the sort of the franchise set up from Riverford.
Mm.
The reason that I decided to go for a sort of franchise as opposed to setting up my business from scratch is sort of what Chris was saying, that there's been an established company who's been trading for a long time. They've already taken the risks, I guess, with setting up a new business.
Mm.
And you've got them behind you as a sort of backup. They've got all their experience, they've got the brand awareness.
That's the crucial thing, isn't it? There's a whole brand awareness, so you hit the ground running. You haven't got to build that from scratch. People have heard of Riverford, you know, and there's customers in other areas that have maybe, you know, used it before as well. So unlike starting your own business, you kind of hit the ground running rather than have to do it from the ground up.
That's it. And I think for the relatively, for a new business anyway, the relatively small investment that you have to make, and the investment buying a Riverford franchise is quite a lot less than Chris was saying, the 80,000. It was about a quarter of that. For that small investment, as you say, you sort of hit the ground running. You have the sort of brand awareness. As you say, there are customers throughout the country who are recommending us to their friends and relatives all over the place. So you're sort of getting customers through that way. And the cash flow is very good in that sort of business, in that you're not, for me, I don't buy any stock. I have no stock held, so we only sell what, we only have what we sell.
Yeah.
So it's not like owning a shop where you have to worry about wastage and things like that. So right. Sort of cash flow on that sort of business is very good.
And that's really useful with something like fresh produce, isn't it? Because that's one of the big drawbacks with owning a fresh produce business, is that it spoils very quickly if you don't sell it.
That's right. And in fact, you know, the franchisor, Riverford here, are taking that hit. They're taking the risk with all that.
Mm.
Customers order through the website or through me over the telephone. I then ring my order, you know, not ring my orders through to Riverford, but it's all electronic these days. And so they just deliver what I need, and then I go and deliver it to the customer the next day.
Mm.
And so they are taking all of that risk on spoilage and wastage, and which was really quite attractive because that, you know, unless you've got very experienced about you know, sort of buying and all that sort of thing, it's very difficult to set up a sort of shop with fresh produce or perishables from scratch.
Absolutely.
And make a profit within the first year, which is what you do with a sort of franchise business.
Yeah.
As I say, with the cash flow and the sort of selling things, you're making a profit within 12 months.
Yeah. And of course, with anything like that, because you've got all of this backup behind you, there's an awful lot of benefits to that. Because you haven't got to go out and source this stuff from different places. You're fairly assured of the quality of what you're buying. You know, so if you start from scratch on your own, you've got to go out and find a carrot supplier, find a venison supplier, negotiate prices, and then find out what the quality's like when they ship it in bulk, and then maybe change it all. So by buying a franchise or buying into a franchise like Riverford, all of that's done.
Indeed.
Mm.
You know, exactly. They've done all the testing, the tasting. Mm. You know, they receive all the produce. If the produce isn't up to scratch, they have to deal with that. They have to find a substitute. So that's all taken care of.
Mm.
Plus the fact that, you know, I don't have to pay to set up a website. That's all set up for you. The sort of online buying system. I mean, that's hugely expensive if you're going to have to set that up from scratch. So that's all done for you. So that's another really great advantage of having a franchise, is that's all taken care of, and I don't have to run a website, and I don't have to have a customer service centre. You know, I'm a one person business. Of course my customers will phone me, but they, if I'm out delivering or on Business Bunker Radio, and so not at the end of the phone, then the farm, you know, will field those calls for me and you know, answer customers' queries and help them with their ordering system and all that sort of thing. So yeah.
Cool.
It's your patch, sorry Paul, is the whole of East Kent.
Yeah, between my sister and I, the Astoraki sisters, or the organic sisters as we get known.
The organic, sorry, I'm glad you qualified that.
We actually run the Riverford business for the entire East Kent area. So,
right.
And going through into Medway as well, Lisa's area is part of my area too. So from Gravesend to Ramsgate and from Deal to Rye, that's us.
Okay, and just give us an overview, because we're kind of fast running out of time. Give us an overview of the kind of things that you provide. You provide your famous veg boxes.
Yep.
And tell us the other kind of things that you provide on a regular basis.
Yeah, so of course Riverford is well known for its famous veg boxes. Mm. That's how it started life, but actually we're much more than a veg box scheme now.
Mm.
We try and provide an alternative to supermarket shopping. So we provide your veg, we provide your meat, milk, eggs, cheese, fruit. We're also doing sort of pies and dips and bacon.
Not anymore. Jules just ate all the dips.
So it's really trying to provide a real alternative to going to the supermarket. And anecdotally, lots of customers say that because they're having to, you know, they have our Riverford deliveries, no charge for the delivery, they cut down on their supermarket trips. They actually spend less because they're not buying those sort of
impulse
purchases when they try and get you as you go through the door with their sort of buy one, get one free things that you actually don't really need. Mm. So, and it enables people to sort of budget. Our prices do not go up. They, you know, once they've had a price rise in the year, then that's it. That's set for them for the whole year. So you can really sort of budget with your family finances. And we know that it's tight and tough out there. So we do try and do everything we can to sort of help people. Sure. And we're about 20% cheaper than supermarket prices as well. So it's a win-win situation.
You can't say further than that,
no,
can you?
It's the taste.
Yeah.
As that PG Monkey once said, it's a taste.
Yeah.
But the carrots taste like real carrots should.
Right. Okay, cool. Look, it's lovely to talk to you, Liz. Unfortunately, we're running out of time at an alarming rate. So just give us a shout for your website.
We're 3Ws, riverford.co.uk.
Brilliant. Liz, thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing in the one chocolate and beetroot brownie that I got my teeth around. Oh, you have got some more over there. You're just hiding them. I'm going to have another one.
I thought you might want to save it first.
Yeah, I'm going to save it because I can't eat and talk at the same time. For the moment, Liz, thank you for joining us. Absolute pleasure. And riverfordorganic.co.uk.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Liz. So thank you for that. I've had a couple of things in following on the B2B thing that I was talking about earlier. Don't forget, if you've been in business for less than 2 years, you can get a free exhibition stand at the Ashford Show on the 3rd of July.
That's a good
idea. Yeah, in the startup zone, sponsored by Auratech.
Of course.
You remember Dan was on the show a few weeks ago.
Dan the man.
So if you want to try and qualify for a free stand in the startup zone, and why wouldn't you? What a fantastic opportunity. Sponsored by Auratech. Go to their website, which is www.auratech, that's auratech.co.uk/win-B2B-2012-stands. But if you just go into their main website, it's got a link to the competition. So that's Auratech, auratech.co.uk. There's a link on the Business Bunker website to it. Go in there, you can get a free stand at the 3rd of July Startup Zone in Ashford.
So that's a K at the end of Auratech, not a C?
Yeah.
Okay.
T-E-K, yep.
Brilliant.
And also, Solo Consultancy will be offering a workshop at the B2B event. Our workshop is entitled Making the Best of Your People to Improve the Bottom Line. So have a look at our website, which is www.solo-consultancy.com. That's solo-consultancy.com. And follow us on Twitter at Solo Consultancy. Thank you, Sally. So that's a workshop that's also taking place there on making the best of your people to improve the bottom line from the Solo Consultancy. So get on to those things. Right, that's that. Have you got loads of emails left there?
Yeah, hundreds.
Yeah, and we've got another guest that we want to talk to.
Yeah.
Can you do one more email, Jules? Then I think we'll play some tunage, and then we'll talk to our next studio guest.
Who is announcing Warren Wilson.
Absolutely.
Rotary Club of Canterbury Sunrise, multimedia quiz night in aid of the Rotary Charities. That's 7:30 p.m. on the 16th of June at Augustine House, Christchurch Uni. £10 a table, tables of 8 or 10, include a ploughman's and bar is available. Contact Diane at noeltatt, N-O-E-L-T-A-T-T, .co.uk. We will put details on the Business Bunker after the show.
We will indeed. I think we're going to do some tunage now. Do you know what we're going to do?
Doctor.
Nah, bit of Thin Lizzy.
Night Nurse.
Nah, bit of Thin Lizzy.
The boys are back in town. Reagan when she died. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. The boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. You better let them. That you bucks in the corner blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer. It won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Oh, that's better. That's better. Sorry, it went all quiet for a minute there.
Andrews is back in town.
Yeah, the boys are back in town. Phil Linnet, Thin Lizzy, brilliant.
You've seen Bunker Listener here, but he was jumping up and down on the speakers in thin leather trousers.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a guitar.
We were headbanging.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce our next studio guest, Mr. Warren Wilson of Mailbox Canterbury. I can't see Warren because there's a very great computer screen in between us, so I'm just going to have to assume he's there. Hi, Warren.
Hello. It's probably for the best.
Sorry, I'll try and move around a bit, but then I'll pull my headphones out. No, I can't. We'll just have to trust you. Ah, there you are. Well,
it really is there.
Yeah. Warren, tell us a little bit about you and then a bit about your business.
Well, I'm Warren Wilson. I've had a logical career path. I started off as a jeweller, then I run pubs, then I was a computer engineer, and then I started a Mailbox Etc. franchise.
Oh, let's just go to the jeweller first.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of... Did you make jewellery or...
I started off in the workshop repairing it.
Wow.
And then I moved into selling it.
Wow. What kind of jewellery?
Just high street retail.
Mm. Contemporary or classic?
Just the sort of like the H. Samuels type thing. So it was the sort of high markup with not a lot of gold in, really.
Wow. Or junk, as Mr. Ratner called it. Yeah.
Famously ruined
yeah,
his business.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that. So what attracted you to the franchise in the first place? Maybe a better starting place is actually to tell us what your franchise is and what it does, Warren.
Well, Mailbox etc. They're a one-stop shop for small businesses that are looking to outsource their printing, copying, mailing, documents, parcel delivery, all that type of thing.
Right.
So we can deal with all your normal post, the Royal Mail stuff, or we can send sort of a letter the next day to America, or as I have done recently, a wardrobe to Canada.
Blimey. So you're kind of a bit like a post office.
A little bit like a post office. You just can't get your pension there.
Right, okay. But then nobody can get a pension anyway these days, can they? Because they've got no money. But, okay, and so...
Why did you send a wardrobe to Canada?
The gentleman asked me to. So he said, can I get a wardrobe to Canada?
What
I said,
kind of wardrobe?
Amazing. A big wooden one.
Was it some sort of heirloom? Or?
I never... Well, he bought it from an auction house, but I never actually saw it myself because I organised it to a crating firm. The crating firm crated it up, and then... It was then picked up by the couriers and sent to Canada.
Oh, so you didn't have to put it through one of those little envelope tester things?
I didn't, no. No.
And then weigh it and go, whoa, that'll be first class, that will.
No, not quite.
Large cool. Letter range.
Yeah, yeah.
How much would it cost to send a wardrobe to Canada?
That would be divulging a customer's...
Oh.
Okay. No, it was about £2,000.
Okay. Right, okay.
Is that by ship?
Yes.
Okay. Or rowing boat.
Maybe I carried it.
Might be a bit cheaper for
a canoe. Kayak. Anyway, enough of that. So what attracted you to looking at a franchise, Warren? This is really difficult because I can't see him. I'm asking questions of someone that isn't there. I know he is. I just like to look at people when I'm talking to them normally, but don't worry about it.
Fetching.
So what attracted you to looking at a franchise in the first place?
Well, I've always had a want to be my own boss. Mm. I've over the years looked at various starting businesses and finding that getting suppliers and that type of thing was quite a problem. Mm. So then I looked into the franchising side of it because obviously you've got the sort of the ready-made business, as it were. I spent a good while looking through various franchises. I came across Mailbox etc. And it sounded an interesting concept. Mm. It was something that I felt I could be good at because it's a very sort of a customer-facing business. Mm. And I think I'm quite a good people person.
Right.
So I investigated it further. I had a chat with Chris Gillam, who was on the show earlier.
Oh, right, OK.
And he talked it through with me.
Right.
Don't just throw this show together, you know.
No, there's a method here, isn't there?
You know, done my research.
That is Jill Serkin, senior researcher, Business Bunker Radio. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So, from there, I looked into... Well, one of the things I looked at with the various franchises that I was contemplating was what their resales were.
Right, okay.
And so a lot of them I looked at and they found after sort of a couple of years they were up for sale and that type of thing.
Yeah.
With Mailbox, et cetera, I found a couple... at the most, that were being actually resold. And when I actually questioned them about it, it was for logical reasons rather than not making money.
Yeah, like retirement.
That's
or,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
Having 125 of them around the country and about 1,400 worldwide, I thought, well, it's got to be fairly successful. There wouldn't be that many, so...
Absolutely. And with your particular franchise, Mailbox, et cetera, how does it work in terms of do you get coverage of a geographical area or...?
Not a geographical area as such. I mean, they like to base them in a place where there's quite a high student population and quite a lot of small to medium-sized businesses, which is a lot of what we deal with. I mean, from a student point of view, we do a lot of dissertation printing, binding,
right.
And that type of thing. Also, we do sending the clothes and belongings of students back to
mum and dad's house,
yes.
while they clear off on summer holidays.
That's it. So. So it's very sort of the areas that they choose to have thing and are looked at closely to make sure that the business will actually work there.
Yeah, and it's primarily a retail based business. Yeah,
it's retail. It's a shop based.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And where's your shop?
It's in St Dunstan Street, number 30 St Dunstan Street in Canterbury.
Is that right. St Dunstan's Road or Street?
Street.
So is it the main one that goes down to?
It's where Westgate Towers is. If you come away from Westgate Towers.
Is that called St Dunstan Street? I always thought it was Road, sorry.
No, it is a street.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope so, because my business cards are wrong otherwise.
Are you responsible for that traffic chaos there?
I'm afraid so, yeah. That was me.
That was me as well. I've got, I actually own a business in St Dunstan's too, so...
Okay.
Yeah, just above Student Places. I don't know if you
know. Yeah, I know that.
Anyway, enough of that. So, I mean, Canterbury's an ideal place for that, isn't it? There's 30,000 students in Canterbury.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and quite a lot of, as I say, small business and that type of thing.
Mm.
And also the there's quite a lot of auction houses around there as well. We do a lot of shipping from auction houses as well.
Right.
So, yeah, it's perfectly placed, really, for what they do.
Okay. And how long have you operated the franchise, Warren?
I've operated this for just over a week now. It's But I have actually been looking at it for about 2 years. I think I actually hold the record of the longest gestation period of mailboxes, etc.
So do you see where I was going? I've got Chris Gillam, the expert, Mr. Bunker. Then I've got Liz and Caroline Astoraki, the, you know, very, very well established.
Yeah.
And then I've got the new.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's good, you know.
I don't just sling it together, you know.
I know. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And you did all of this from your sickbed.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed, Jules.
Couple of paracetamol, I'll do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, carry on eating your celery. Cool, so this is a really new...
It's very new, yes.
Ah, right, that's really interesting. So, early days yet.
Yeah.
So, right, okay. In terms of acquiring the franchise, what was the process? Once you spent... a decade thinking about it. And no, but quite right too. You're quite right too in terms of, you know, looking at what you're getting into. And
yeah, well, I mean, I spent a lot of that time actually finding the right premises.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a lot of it is where you're located, and I think where I'm located in St Dunstan's Retreat
is great location.
Pretty perfect for it.
Yeah. That was really what my question was about. You know, do you locate the premises? Are there, with a franchise like Mailbox, et cetera, are there certain criteria that you have to meet, or is it fairly open?
No, it's fairly open. I mean, I did look at four or five businesses, and they did send a representative down to go round the various locations with me and see what they thought about it, whether they thought it would work there or not. And, I mean, two or three that I was keen on, they said to me, well, actually, we don't think it'll work there.
Right, okay.
So then when we eventually found this one in St Dunstan Street, they said, yes, I was happy. So it was all systems go.
Right. So you got help and support.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I was getting at.
I must say mailboxes have been great from that point of view with the help and support. All you have to do is ring them up and they will, you know, bend over backwards to try and accommodate you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, an easily said thing, but location is everything, isn't it, with something like that, especially with a retail business.
Yes.
You know, if you're in the wrong location, it can make or break a business.
Yeah.
So getting that kind of expertise and help is crucial, that people do that. They don't just leave you to...
No, that's right. It was very much hands-on in the process of getting you started.
Okay. You've got part of the Roper Place. I don't know if you've discovered them yet. I'll try and introduce you. But the Roper Place is... they've all banded together to make their own little marketing tool. And then you've got Lenleys, of course, and Graham's down there as well.
Okay.
Mm. It's a thriving little area of Canterbury, actually.
It's becoming very popular.
Yeah. And in terms of shop fit out and things like that, again, I guess there's a corporate kind of setup, is there?
Well, there is obviously a brand sort of look.
Yeah.
But again, with doing the shop fit, the tender goes out to various companies. It's not just the company that they decide to do the shop fit.
Right, okay. So there are choices in it.
Yeah, so there's choices in it. And obviously based on price and people they've used before.
Right.
But, I mean, also they used another company that they hadn't used before.
Right.
And put the tender out to them, but they came back in at a too high a cost. But there's very much you can go your own way with them, but with the support
behind you. That sounds perfect, because you hear of some franchises where people get very frustrated because they can't do anything.
Yeah.
They're told everything, you know, it's got to be green and it's got to be 9 foot tall and it's got to, you know, have a left-hand thread or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be quite frustrating because it might work somewhere, but not necessarily everywhere. So having some degree of flexibility is useful, but more than that, having the expertise behind it that just says, well, look, in our expert knowledge and awareness of the business, we don't think that will work. We think you're better off looking at this.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. I mean, they're flexible in the way you run the business, so long as it's run within the guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you go off and do something stupid, then they'll obviously come around and pull you back in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, not that I've done anything stupid yet.
But. Yeah, no, but give him a chance. He's only working up to it at the moment. So, was it 2 weeks, did you say?
We've been in the shop and sort of functioning for about 2 weeks now, yeah.
Right, okay, so you're fully open?
Yeah, we're open for business. We've still got one or two little teething problems.
Yeah, like of course.
My printer hasn't arrived yet, even though it should have been here last week. But,
right.
Yeah, I'm on the phone beating people verbally, so it should... Okay. Be sorted.
But wardrobes, no problem.
Wardrobes are no problem, no.
Yeah, we can send all of our furniture to Canada at a drop of a hat.
I'm quite happy to be able to say that I can pretty much send anything anywhere.
Right, okay.
And I think we've dealt with most of the stuff that we come across. I mean, the other day I had a large 3-foot-high glass dome full of stuffed taxidermy birds that went to France. And it was, I think most of them are last of species. But
cool. Okay, so... fascinating, and you kind of target that studenty small businessy market.
Yes, it's very much targeted at the small business, the student population. Obviously, with the small businesses, because we do the printing as well.
Right,
we can do the letterheads, business cards, anything like that. But we've also got the capability of printing up to sort of AO size posters and that type of thing as well. So design and all that type of thing, we can accommodate too.
Funny you should say that. Somebody asked me yesterday on Twitter if they knew where they can get a big poster printed in Canterbury. I will go and find out who it was, and I will point them at you.
Let me know. That's no problem.
Yeah, I will. No, I remember that going through yesterday, and I thought, I don't know off the top of my head. I do now.
You do now.
One of the powers of Twitter. Cool. Okay, so, and all that printing and stuff like that, that's all done on the premises, is it?
Not all of it. There is an in-house sort of central printing hub that we can use. So obviously, with the shop, it's not really practical to have a huge, great printer in there. But, we can print up to sort of A3 type stuff in the shop. But actually, you know, if you want big posters and that type of thing, we can outsource it.
Yeah, okay.
Or sort of like the thicker papers and that type of thing.
Okay, cool. How
competitive are your prices?
We price ourselves very competitively, yeah. So, we're probably not the cheapest, but then again, we're not the dearest, but we base our business ethos on service.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come into a shop, you will get good customer service, you'll get a smile, you'll get attention, you won't get the miserable person behind the counter.
I've been in that shop, don't you worry. Cool. And do you have a website?
We do. It's www.mbe.co.uk/Canterbury.
Cool. Okay.
And Warren is now on Twitter because I forced him.
I am on Twitter.
Yeah.
And struggling, but I am on it.
No. We will generate you a million followers. Don't worry.
Thank you.
And it's also useful, personally, knowing that you're there in Canterbury, because I actually own 3 businesses in Canterbury.
Okay.
3 small businesses. So knowing you're there is useful. And I will be down your shop, I'm sure.
With your wardrobes.
With my wardrobe on my back. Send that somewhere.
No problem. I can do you a good deal, I'm sure.
Yeah. $2,000, no problem. mind you, I'm probably going to be in it.
Well, you can.
Well, I'm sure we can send coffins.
Yeah, send me to Canada now.
You could actually put it on its side and get some oars and a little life jacket and just go over in the wardrobe to Canada, couldn't you?
You could do that,
along
Jules.
The creek, down Faversham Way. And
you could do that. Not with my IKEA assembled wardrobe, I couldn't. It would leak like anything. Warren, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure to hear about your fledgling... business, which is good. As Jill said, you know, the whole point of putting together today was to look at different franchising from different points of view. So it's interesting to have someone that has just embarked on this. And what I was most impressed with is the work you'd actually done. You know, because all joking aside, sometimes it's too easy to jump into something and not think about what you're doing and get burnt and then have a really bad view of franchising. And one of the things that I was alluded to with Chris earlier was that some franchising has a bad name because people have gone about it in the wrong way. You know, they've bought a franchise without thinking about it. It hasn't worked out very well. And then they look at how to get out, and there's no market for getting out, you know, because the franchise doesn't work very well, so nobody wants to buy it off them. So they're stuck with something that they don't want, doesn't work, and doesn't suit them. And that's purely because they didn't research it properly in the first place.
That's it.
Yeah, you know, so your experiences of doing that are really interesting. And having been in business for just a couple of weeks. More power to you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So we wish you the best of luck with that, Warren. We'll put a link to your website on our website.
Okay.
Are you having an opening launch or?
We are looking to do that at some point in the near future. Yes.
He is now because we're all going.
Well, you're quite welcome to cut the ribbon.
Yeah.
You can do a live program from my shop.
Absolutely.
And we can cut the ribbon.
Yeah, we'll do
lovely.
That. Brilliant.
What colour ribbon?
Whatever one you like. Oh. I don't mind.
And of course, Liz could supply you with the
fruit box. She can supply the food. Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. And the organic wine.
Crudités are us.
Yeah.
She does a very nice Prosecco. Mm-hmm. Which I've sampled on many occasions.
I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it's nice.
Sparkling wine.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you for that, Warren. Thank you for joining us. Feel free to stay for the last 5 minutes of the show. We're fast running out of time. I've got dozens of tweets, loads of emails. Very quickly, Go Vicinity Creative.
Oh, that's lovely, Rob Parker.
Yeah. Canterbury Business Over Breakfast Networking Group, open day next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. A venue to be announced. That's Business Over Breakfast Club. So it's not tomorrow, not manana. It's the following Wednesday. Business Over Breakfast in Canterbury, 6:30 to 8:30. Watch Twitter for an announcement of where the venue is going to be.
And we will. That's a really good breakfast, the Bob I call it, but the Business Over Breakfast. You know, Warren's just gone for some vegetables. We've sorted him out, Liz.
Cool.
Wonders will never cease.
He wasn't a vegetable man, and we've got him round.
Right, okay.
No, I think he's a secret carnivore. He did ask where the meat was.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, the salsa does it for me. Yeah. How spicy is that? It's lovely.
Yeah, I like the way you dance.
Mm. Right, I've got an email. Hi, Paul and Jules. Paul and Jules.
Oh, is that your mum?
Almost. No! I never said that. No, Paul and Jules. With a lot of fantastic support from the town, we are holding the Jazz Festival. This is Maidstone Town Centre. We're holding a jazz festival on the 30th of June. We have a minimum of 10 positions around the town. We're playing music throughout the day. And I'd just like to say a huge thank you to all the businesses that have made this happen. And anybody that's looking for sponsorship or advertising opportunities, they are available. And you need to contact the absolutely lovely Leslie Bennett of Maidstone Town Centre Management, and you can get hold of Leslie at lbennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, at maidstonetowncentre.com, or you can look at their website, which is www.maidstonetowncentre.com. So that's the 30th of June, the Maidstone Jazz Festival, 10 locations around the town playing jazz music all day long, and there are opportunities to sponsor, support, and to put up adverts. So do contact Leslie. She's brilliant. She's really brilliant. She'll help you out. Have a go at that. Jules.
I'm just impressed with you in a show where you've used the words usurped and alluding in one and a half hours. I'm very impressed with you.
What are you trying to tell me? I'm not edumacated.
No, you are. I'm very impressed. Kent Channel Chamber Networking Breakfast takes place on Thursday, the 21st of June, from 7:30 to 9:30 at the Ramada Dover, which is down in Whitfield. Come and join us for a regular informal breakfast where we'll be launching our new apprenticeship programme with our partners Fusion Futures, promoting $35 million expansion East Kent programme, which is currently offering local businesses and startups the opportunity of a flexible, interest-free loan and support for your growth plans. So that is above the Ramada Dover, www.ramadadover.co.uk, or call Tracy on 01303 270022. That sounds excellent.
Cool.
Well done.
Good stuff.
Hi, Jules and Paul.
It
would be great if you'd give us a mention on the radio show. We've made it to the final of the Kiba Kent Excellent in Business Awards in the category for Best Apprenticeship Scheme. Really very exciting. Awards and presentation on 28th of June. So fingers crossed. Claire Cooper of AR Engineering Industries.
Oh, well done, Claire. Claire was on the show last year.
She was.
Yeah, fantastic. Great result.
Down in Wilmington, she is.
Yeah, they're an engineering company, a manufacturing company, and one of the Made in Kent stalwarts. And there's another word for you.
Yeah.
And they've won an award for apprenticeships.
Fingers crossed for you, Claire. Well done.
Yeah, brilliant, 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 brilliant. Well done. We're fast approaching the end of the show. What have you got there? Have you got anything short that needs reading? Anything that's time sensitive?
I'm just shuffling. Good afternoon. I'm absolutely delighted to announce that the winners of the RAP 4A cause competition and the £10,000 prize.
Oh, yeah.
For any of you who don't know, this was a national competition entered by one of the CHYPS, CHYPS families, Tony and his son Charlie, 7, entered in memory of Oscar Saunders, who sadly
just
died.
To let you know, CHIPS is a charity that provides hospice support at home.
At home.
Yeah.
Brilliant. The family, CHIPS and Eleanor Lyons hospice staff and our supporters have worked tirelessly since February to help promote the RAP and gain as us nearly 7,000 Facebook likes. So a lot of followers there on Facebook and Twitter, and that's from Louise Wright, who's the senior corporate fundraiser. So thank you, Louise, and well done, you know, for the Saunders family. I'm sure they're really, really
brilliant.
Pleased.
And well done to Bunker listeners. A lot of Bunker listeners voted for that and liked
yeah.
it. So it got up there. And as they said, I mean, what a fantastic result in the face of some other really big charities that really pulled the guns out with that.
They had help from Dartford rock legend Mick Jagger and also Russell Brand.
Blimey.
To name but a few.
A bit of name dropping there.
Yeah.
Can I get him on the show?
And Business Bunker.
Can I get him on the show? Now we're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do that dance that you were alluding, usurping to.
Okay.
I'm sure Mick Jagger would come on.
I'm sure he would. Well, we're fast approaching the end of the show. Thank you for everybody that participated and
got any last tweets.
Joined in. And we got the phones working at last.
We did.
So now we know the phones work, which is handy for next week.
Yes.
And everybody that tweeted, everybody that sent emails and listened in, we really appreciate it. Hopefully, if we manage to get the show recorded properly, we'll have that up to listen again for anyone that wants to listen to it again or download it as a podcast.
Big thanks to Chris Gillam as well.
Yeah, and thank you to all of our guests for participating in today's show. Chris Gillam of NMW Franchising Services, Liz Astoriki of Riverford Organic, and Warren Wilson of MBE, etc. in Canterbury. Absolutely brilliant show. Thank you for being on. Our absolute pleasure. Thank you for jobsinkent.com for sponsoring today's show. And that's about it. Next week, it's the big one.
There's 6 brownies left, Paul.
Is there?
Beetroot brownies.
Cool. Well, we need you to tune in next week. We're on the show.
To see how we eat them.
Yeah. We have Mr. Richard Farley, former Dragon of Dragon's Den. We also have Roger House, the chair of the Federation of Small Business for Kent, and the lovely Brent McNaughton of Eke Media.
Brilliant.
So we've got a full-packed show for you again next week, and we're looking forward to that. In the meantime, have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Bye.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Wait.